Welcome to Healed, Whole, Called, the podcast where stories of trauma meet the healing power of Jesus. Each week, we journey with women who have walked through pain, wrestled through the process, and now stand in the promise of who God called them to be. This is more than storytelling. This is sacred space, where honesty is welcome, healing is possible, and hope is alive. And now, here's your host, Wendy Melrose.
So today, I'm so honored to welcome Angela Limbell, a published author, speaker, and business strategist who equips faith-driven entrepreneurs to turn their lived experiences into lasting impact without compromising their values. Angela is a wife, a ranch dweller, a proud mom of 5 kids and 3 bonus kids, and a beautiful blended family. Her journey is included walking through domestic violence, single motherhood, and rebuilding her life from the ground up. Out of those hard-won experiences, Angela has discovered a deep passion for helping others see that their mess does not disqualify them. It actually uniquely positions them with compassion, conviction, and clarity. Angela, thank you for bringing your real, raw, and redemptive story into this space today. It is an honor to have you here. Hello.
Hey, Wendy. Thank you for having me. I'm blessed and honored to be here.
So exciting. So I'd love for you to start at the beginning. And what was it, the moment or a season of hardship that God walked you through?
Oh, there were so many. I think for me, the hardest season was walking through toxic relationships and just the weight, the heaviness that comes with that, the sense of loss of self, not knowing who I was, not feeling like I had a voice, not feeling like my voice was being heard, and the struggle, right? And I started in toxic relationships very young, and we'll get into, I think, probably why I believe that happened or where that came from. But that season was probably a 15 year. It was 15 years of my life that just in the thick of it felt completely wasted and completely hopeless. And even being a mom during that time made it worse, because then those attributes, those characteristics were passed on to my children, to my daughters especially. Mm. So, yeah.
So what was life like for you at that time? So, like, I know that you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what was it specifically like? Like, did you, like, feel God, like, in there helping you at all? Or did you feel almost like your identity, like, all of that was being tested?
I think I always knew God was there. I wasn't walking with him at the time. I mean, I was raised in church. My parents were wonderful parents. But I think I knew. I always knew God was there. I always knew I could turn to him, but I wasn't leaning on him the way that I should have. Mm-hmm. And it was because I didn't trust him. Mm. And I don't know if you want to get into this now or if you want to get into it later.
Go ahead.
For me, it was I didn't trust him because I expected the same kind of love from him that I had received from man, from human beings. Mm-hmm. And that was a very conditional love. It was a performance-based love, and feeling like I had to perform. The amount of love that I received was going to be directly correlated with my performance. So mm-hmm. I was always striving to be better, to be enough. I was always striving to fit in instead of operating in the identity that I have in Christ. And so it was a very, very overwhelming season. My identity was quite literally completely stripped away from me. I was married to an alcoholic, divorced from him, and ended up married, or I was engaged. I'm sorry. I was engaged in between to a man who was, he was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. He was bipolar. Like, I didn't know these things when I started seeing him. It's funny, the relationships that we end up in, because of who we are, because mm-hmm. of what's going on inside of us. And then got out of that relationship into a relationship, an 8-year marriage with a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a compounding effect, not knowing who I was to begin with. And I later came to understand that was probably based in my relationship with my dad. Like I said, I had a wonderful parents. My dad was a praise and worship leader at church. He was a Sunday school teacher, amazing man. And I have people, family specifically, that frown at me when I say this, but I came to understand he was emotionally unavailable. And so what I took into my relationships were based in that. I was drawn to men who were emotionally unavailable. And it was because of what I had experienced or felt from my father. And while he was a great man, he was a product of his own environment, right? Like he was raised in an atmosphere where men don't cry, men don't show emotion, which if you can't cry and you can't show emotion, how are you going to show love? How are you going to show compassion? Like I knew he loved me, but I didn't feel that he loved me. I was always trying to be enough. I was always trying to win his love and his affection and his time.
Oh, that's amazing. Because how many of us out there have experienced the same thing, you know, where we don't understand why we keep repeating patterns, and with those patterns create, you know, just all of this hurt, right? And how was it that, you know, when was it that God really met you in your pain and just kind of whispered to you?
I think he was always whispering. I think I was just always running from it. I remember very specifically, I believe my second marriage was in shambles. It was falling apart. And I had gone to, my sister went to a church and had invited me to come with her. And I had kind of started drifting away from church. I had gone to church. There was a lot of church hurt. There was a lot of betrayal. There was a lot of sense of hypocrisy. You know, I think a lot of the world is experiencing that right now. And coming to that place of questioning my own religion, because I had been raised in it. I was raised a probably what I would call as close to a Southern Baptist upbringing as you can get in, you know, Northwest Missouri. Good church, good people, you know, people have good hearts, but we're human, right? We fail, we fall short. And so there had been a lot of church hurt there. I had been in another church while I was married to my second husband. And the pastor, I had gone to him. My husband had pulled a shotgun on me. I was sitting with my daughter. She was probably 2 or 3 years old at the time. I was pregnant with my son. And we didn't know yet. It was a couple weeks later we found out that I was pregnant with him. And he came at me. He was mad at me. We had been arguing and I was trying to leave for work and he had pulled me back in and threw me on the floor and told me I wasn't leaving until we dealt with this. Went into our room, got out a shotgun, brought 2 shotgun shells, handed them to me and told me to put my name and my daughter's name on these shells. And I remember thinking, okay, God, is this it? And so I pushed my daughter behind me. I sat in front of her and I told him I wasn't doing that. I asked if I could call his mom. Anyway, we got through that whole situation and I called the pastor and I told him I need help because I didn't want to bring family services in. I had been through a lot with them with previous relationships and I didn't want to go the state route. I wanted to go the church route, which I had been studying up on and trying to understand how the process works through a church. Well, my husband at the time was not going to church. So I had called the pastor. I told him what was going on. I said, I need help. Well, through a series of events, he ended up telling me that if my husband had had a submissive wife, it wouldn't have gotten to that point.
Really?
Really. I know. So I say all of that to say there was a lot of church hurt that had happened. And so I had shied away from church, but my marriage is still falling apart. My sister invites me to this church event and I went to this church event and I remember just sitting there so hungry for God, so hungry for a life that meant something and recognizing here I had my children. They were dependent on me. I wasn't in a safe environment. Long story short, that was kind of I went forward. I got prayed over. I had this lovely couple spoke some prophetic words over me, and something began to shift. So this wasn't like a night and day experience, like I walked in and then I left changed. It was a very slow process. So several years following that, it was just God wooing me, him just kind of coming in and whispering. It was never shouting. It was never a bold in your face instant change. It was just him wooing me and started showing me. He took me to a study of the Song of Solomon.
Okay.
And it's a book that I don't think it's talked about a whole lot, but it was there. It was in that book, in that study, that God met me and began to show me his character, not at all who I thought he was. I thought I was raised in a very fear-based religion. God is a God of fear. He's a God of judgment. He's the lion, you know. I didn't see the softer side of him. I didn't understand grace. I didn't understand mercy. I didn't understand who he was as God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it was there in that study, through that series of events, that I came to understand his character. I came to understand my identity in Christ. And I actually ended up writing a Bible study on this book, sharing what the Lord had shown me through that experience, through that study. So it wasn't this overnight change. It was a very long process, 10, probably 10, 15 years, that God was just dating me, I guess, and in a regard.
Right.
That makes sense.
And did anything really surprise you about how, like, obviously you grew up in the fire and brimstone, you're going to hell, all that kind of stuff, environment. But then, you know, like over those 10 to 15 years, God's just loving on you and loving on you and loving on you, whispering to you. Like, now looking back, or even now, like, is it something that just surprises you? And you know, and how would you really even, because I know sometimes people are like, but how do you know it's God? Like, I would love for you to share with the woman who's listening right now, who could be in the exact spot that you were in. Like, what was it, something that you felt inside of your chest? Was it something that sometimes, I know God can speak to us, it almost feels audible. Was it like, you know, share maybe a little bit more of the senses, so someone who could be in the middle of the chaos and the hurt can understand, oh, wait a minute, I've been ignoring it because I'm in such a chaotic space. It's so loud in my mind and in my home. How would you share with them on how you can hear from him? Because some people are like, God is a small, still voice. Like, there's been times where the Lord will be like, Wendy, so loud in my spirit because it's so chaotic and it calms me. People are like, oh my gosh, God talks to you that boldly. And I'm like, look, he talks to us how we need in order to receive what he has for us. And some of us who are more stubborn, like myself, it has to be a little bit more, it's not harsh. It was very loving, but it's like a father or a mother to a child when you're trying to get their attention, right? So how would you explain to the woman listening on how to experience that if they're in the middle of the chaos?
Yeah, I think all of that, really. Like, for me, I'm like you. I was very stubborn. I was very hard-headed. I was very, hold on.
Okay.
So for me, it depended on the season I was in. It really did. There was a period where he did have to just whisper to me because I was so, what's my word? I did not have a thick skin. I was very sensitive in the aspect of, you couldn't say anything to me without making me cry. And, but I vacillated between that and being completely numb and feeling nothing and not having words for my emotions. So anyone who has walked through toxic relationships can probably understand and relate to the concept of literally not having an identity, not knowing who you are, can't name your emotions, you don't know what you're feeling. There's just so much chaos going on. So God had to start with me being very gentle. And then it got to the point where I was hearing that audible voice. I was here and I'd be like, what in the world? I mean, because I was raised around church. I was raised around a Holy Spirit filled people. So I knew, but I had never experienced it. And so once I started hearing audibly, there was a lot of second guessing. Was that you, God? Or was that just me wanting this so bad that I'm making this up in my own head? So then questioning and second guessing and not knowing for sure if it was him. So he would have to confirm. And usually that would come by way of at least three other people saying the same thing or coming up in conversation three different times. So I think there are, like you said, there's a lot of ways God can speak to us. He can speak to us through a song on the radio. He can speak to us in conversation with someone or overhearing a conversation. He's spoken to me through movies I'm watching on TV. I will see something and it'll be like, it's something just gets highlighted and it really stands out to me where it maybe hadn't, where I've seen it before. So I think it just... I think we just have to be seeking, right? Scripture tells us, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Seek and you will find. I think we have to be in that space of seeking.
That's so good. And sometimes you, and like getting, how often or how long did it take you to get into the word every day? Even if it was just for a few minutes, because that's where I'm like, sometimes I'll just open up the YouVersion app and I'm like, okay, like, you know, I just go through the actions. But then there's times I'm like, I know the Lord's like, you know, I'm like, Lord, what verse do you want me to open in your word today? And then I'll think I'll hear, and then it goes to something like weird. And forgive me, Lord, for saying that about your living word. But I'm talking about literally no context, doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, okay, maybe I heard you wrong. And so it's almost kind of like a practicing on listening to the Holy Spirit. Right. And so when, you know, when we listen, when we get into the word, that's, and even talking to other Christ following friends, women, you know, where we can minister to each other and just be around, like surrounded by others, when, especially when you're going into a season where you need extra propping up, right? You need, you know, an errand, or Joshua, what was it? Who held up Moses' arms? Aaron and her. And so it's like, you know, if you need your arms held up, make sure you have the women that will meet you where you are, that can minister to you. And not, I mean, forgive me if this comes across wrong, and not just let you wallow in the pit for so long and let you stay there. Like, we have to get out of the pit. Now, there's a season for everything, but for enough is enough. I mean, either this could come across really harshly, and forgive me, but it's like, do you like being in pain so much that you refuse to take action to get out? Because the Holy Spirit wants us to take steps. You know, there's one thing to be in a place of brokenness and to receive. And there's another thing to rise up and start taking movement towards the life God wants for you. And I don't want anyone listening to this to think that I'm trying to be harsh or anything. I've been through my own seasons of things, right? You know, but do we always want to make sure that we're taking steps? Like, having gone from $100 from homelessness, where I'm like, I don't understand what's going to happen next as a single mom, to figuring out how to surrender and trust in His provision and His way. You know, it's okay to be afraid. It's not okay to be paralyzed fully to the point where you don't take any action ever.
I agree. And I mean, that is where the enemy wants us. He wants us isolated and alone and paralyzed, because we're ineffective when we're in that state.
Truth.
Oh, and it does take, and I went through a season, and I still walk through seasons where, you're talking about how long does it take you to get into the word? There are days where I'm not even remotely drawn into it. I get up late, we're rushing to get out the door, it just doesn't happen. And then I'm kicking myself all day because I know my day is going to go to, you know, my day is just going to go down the toilet because I didn't start it right. And God's like, no, that's right. Why there's grace. That's why there's mercy. You don't have, like, that is that performance-based mentality.
Yes.
If I don't get in the word and read the scripture every morning for 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour. I have friends who start with 2 hours in the morning of just scripture and prayer. And I'm like, God bless you, right?
Yeah, right.
I cannot do it. I don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have the capacity. My brain runs off on rabbit trails of all the things I haven't got done and need to get done. And the whole day is shot already, right? God's like, no, that's why there's grace. That's why there's mercy. For me, there are times where there will be a song rising up in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants from me. He wants me to sing that song.
Yes.
And it can be while I'm driving down the road. It can be while I'm getting ready to go to work. It can be, you know, throughout my day while I'm working. There are just so many ways he can meet us right where we are. I had that season of feeling like Moses, and I needed an Aaron and a Hur.
Mm-hmm.
And God sent them. God mm-hmm. sent those people, two very, very precious women for that season. And I think that's really what it's about. It's
yes,
relationship. It's not religion.
Oh, all day long. And one of the things is because, you know, I had grown up in a very traditional style worship, without bringing up denominations. I did bring it up in another podcast, but I'm, you know, when you're out just checking boxes,
mm-hmm.
you know, becoming kind of a, there isn't relationship there. And one of the things that I want to piggyback on what you were saying is like, sometimes just singing the song, well, the Lord says, have your mind on me always. So I'm like, okay, like we're literally, he's on our mind right now. So if we're going to do the text box, right? Like, you know, because we're a human nature. We're like, okay, I'm thinking about you all the time. All right, good. Check. In other words, it's like, okay, yeah, like I get it. Congratulations. Here's your gold star if that's what you need. But just know it's not about the gold stars. It's not about the check in the box. It's not going to church on Easter and Christmas. It's not going to church on Sunday. Yes, church on Sunday is great for fellowship and the renewing of the mind. But relationship is every day. If we only talk to our spouses on Sundays, we wouldn't have a relationship.
Exactly.
If we only talk to our spouses on Easter and Christmas, there's definitely no relationships. We probably don't even have a marriage anymore.
Exactly.
So if we think about it, it is not about obligation. It is about the desire. He doesn't want us to do it because, oh Lord, I am told to spend 10% of my day with you. And he's just like, okay, like, I want you to. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just lay there. I'm like, okay, house is quiet. I can literally just like, Lord, just whatever you want to tell me. If there's something you want me to pray for, is it, do you want to minister to me? Do you want to make your dreams and visions? And so sometimes like I take that quiet time at 3 or 4 in the morning and I'm just like, okay, this is kind of nice. Well, it's just you and me. Kids are asleep, dogs asleep, husband's asleep, quiet house. That counts. Again, we're not going for what counts. But my point is that sometimes you have to remember when you're driving in the car and you're just quiet, or sometimes you're screaming at God because things aren't going right. It's like relationship means all the emotions, all the time, all the things, and it's the surrender, right?
Yes.
So good.
I think that is probably that was the key for me. Seeing my relationship with God in the same way that I see my relationship with my husband or with my children, the way God sees us is as a parent to a child.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we interact with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is as a husband and wife relationship in my mind. Like that's what really opened the floodgates for me
mm-hmm.
is recognizing, like you said, if we're just having conversations with our spouses on Easter and Christmas, what relationship do we really have? I used to believe that the only way I could talk to God was to go to church on Sunday and go down front and pray at the altar. And I used to believe the only way he would hear me is if I was doing the same thing, if I was going to church, if I was sitting with my Bible open. And it took me a lot of years to understand. I can talk to him while I'm doing the dishes. I can talk to him while I'm taking a shower. I can talk to him when I'm driving down the road, and he hears me in all of those moments because he is the good father, and he is Jesus, the husband, right? So
he's everywhere.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so amazing. So where would you say you are today, and how is God using this story in your life?
Where I am today, he has me writing books. He has me doing a podcast. He has me posting on social media, like speaking. He's calling me to speaking, and I am Moses. Lord, not me. I'm not eloquent speech. I'm not ready. I don't know what to say. I get cotton mouth. And he's like, no, I've called you. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm just in this place of, all right, Lord, just giving him my yes. Here I am. Send me. I'll be a fool for you. Like, I don't care what that means. I don't care what it looks like. My husband's actually asked me a couple of times with all the political stuff going on. And he's like, and you're building this, and you're very outspoken about your faith. And he's like, is that going to make you a target? I'm like, probably. And I'm okay with that.
Well, and we all need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is we're not nearly as much as a target as we really think we are. I think it's a lie from the enemy to paralyze us from taking action and saying yes.
Absolutely.
And you know what? If we are a target, we're a target. Mm-hmm. God doesn't say, oh, by the way, say yes only if you don't die.
Yeah. Or if you're not going to be made fun of, or if you're not going to become an outcast or a reject.
Right.
Like the disciples were
all those very things
quickly rejected and outcast, and you know, it's,
but the God's army, those of us, myself, anyone else who's getting to know you or does know you, or even of these listeners, this is where we rise up. We're supposed to rise up and have each other's back.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you know, Jesus is being crucified, Peter denies him three times, so there's that. But here's the thing, there was grace sufficient enough for Peter.
Yes.
So, you know, even in all the things. So before we finish up, I would love for you to share, like, to the woman who is in the position you were in right now, what word of encouragement would you say, or what prayer would you have for them today?
I actually probably have both. So one of the key strategies, frameworks that the Lord taught me through my journey is, I call it the stop strategy. STOPP.
Mm.
Surrender, trust, obey, prepare, and position.
Mm.
Surrender, trust, and obey. That's our job. That's what our task is, what we have to do to be in alignment with who he's created us to be. Position or preparing is we partner with him.
Mm-hmm.
We, like, think of David. He was anointed king in front of his family and then sent back out to the field to tend the sheep. And mm-hmm. 17 years he spent in the fields playing the harp. God was building capacity in him during those 17 years.
Mm.
That was preparation. But David had to be willing to submit to that, right?
Right.
And then there is positioning, and that's God's job. God is the one who positions us to carry out the assignment that he's given us, to wear the crown that he's given us.
That's cool.
So
that's so good. And then the prayer.
Yeah, the prayer. So Father God, thank you so much for this time together with my sweet sister, Wendy. Lord, I lift up every heart right now that is listening, and every family legacy that's represented here today, especially the ones who feel unseen or unheard or unloved. Gentle Father, please be near to the ones who've come to expect pain instead of peace, who feel the love that they receive is dependent on their performance instead of simply being present. Father, the ones who've confused survival for safety, God, would you remind them of who they really are, not based on what they've been through, but based on what you've planted within them from the foundations of time. Father, break every lie that says they're too broken or too far gone or too much or not enough. I speak freedom over every silenced voice, healing over every hidden wound. I speak clarity over every place of confusion. And I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that the same God who met me in the wreckage is meeting them now with tenderness and truth and with justice for the years that the locusts have eaten, and who is returning to your people power and purpose and a holy fire that simply cannot be quenched. Jesus, show them the difference between counterfeit love and covenant love. Please awaken their hearts again to the sound of your voice, calling them by name, the secret name only you know, and leading them to freedom that can't be taken away. May this be the moment, Father, that they realize they were never forgotten. They were never alone. And Father, it's never too late to begin again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, that was so beautiful. Thank you so much, Angela, for sharing your heart and with us today. And to our listeners, remember that your story isn't over. You are not disqualified by what you've been through. With Jesus Christ, you are healed, whole, and called. Remember to subscribe to this channel. We look forward to seeing you again, and have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us on Healed, Whole, Called. If this episode spoke to your heart, don't keep it to yourself. Subscribe and share it with someone who needs to know that healing is possible, purpose is real, and God is still restoring. And before you go, visit resilience-press.com and download your free copy of Get to the Point of Self-Publishing, Wendy's guide to help you move from stuck to published with clarity and confidence. You'll find it in the free resources section. Until next time, stay rooted in truth, covered in grace, and always moving toward the promise.